This is KMXT Kodiak, 100.1 FM. KMXT is also in HD, and we have HD2 and HD3 as well. We're also streaming live on the web at kmxt.org. Here in Kodiak, it's overcast and breezy, just about 40 degrees out at the airport, northeast winds 22 miles per hour, gusts up to 31. Today it's going to be rain, mainly afternoon. Highs in the low 40s, east winds 25 to 30 miles per hour, gusts up to 40 throughout the day. Tonight, those wind gusts are going to be up to 35 miles per hour, lows in the upper 30s. 100% chance of precipitation around most of the island. Here in Kodiak, it's starting to look like there's a little rain off in the distance. And it looks like through the weekend, it's going to be rain on Saturday, showers on Sunday. Highs both days are going to be in the lower 40s, with lows in the upper 30s. Free midday report today, we hear about Murkowski talking about former President Donald Trump. We'll be back after national headlines.
Live from NPR News in Washington, I'm Nora Rahm. A New York judge today ordered former President Trump to pay $355 million for civil fraud. He had inflated the value of his properties to obtain more favorable loan terms. He's also banned from serving as an officer or director of any New York company for 3 years. Trump's two older sons, Donald Trump Jr. and Eric, were fined an additional $4 million each. The judge determined the Trump Organization created more than 500 false valuations to inflate the company's net worth by billions of dollars. Vice President Harris delivered a rebuke of former President Trump's worldview today, without explicitly mentioning him in a speech to world leaders in Munich. As NPR's Asma Khalid reports from Munich, this comes at a time when many in Europe are feeling uncertain about the U.S. commitment to the world.
Harris said she knows that many people in Europe are asking questions about the future of American leadership, and these are also questions Americans must ask themselves.
History has also shown us, if we only look inward, we could not defeat threats from outside. Isolation is not insulation.
She warned that isolation ultimately would weaken America. Her comments come as Republican leadership in the House has essentially blocked additional funding for Ukraine. Asma Khalid, NPR News.
World leaders, exiled Russians, and Kremlin watchers around the world are reacting with anger and disbelief to the death of Russian opposition leader Alexei Navalny. As NPR's Jackie Northam reports, the activist died in a remote Russian prison where he was serving a lengthy sentence.
There's been widespread praise for the 47-year-old Navalny, who was a fierce critic of Russian President Vladimir Putin. German Chancellor Olaf Scholz said Navalny stood up for democracy and freedom in Russia and apparently paid for it with his life. Like many others, Vice President Kamala Harris and Secretary of State Antony Blinken squarely blamed Putin for Navalny's death. Polish Prime Minister Donald Tusk said, "Alexei, we will never forget you and will never forgive them." Canadian Prime Minister Justin Trudeau called Putin a monster. Others, like NATO Secretary General Jens Stoltenberg, urged patience until an investigation was completed. Jackie Northam, NPR News, Washington.
President Biden said he's not surprised, but he is outraged by the death. He put the blame directly on Russian President Vladimir Putin. President Biden visits the Ohio town of East Palestine today, the site of a train derailment more than a year ago. It caused an explosive fire and spilled millions of gallons of hazardous materials and pollutants. Biden has been criticized for not visiting sooner. This is NPR News from Washington. Kansas City police are asking witnesses to Wednesday's shooting to come forward as their investigation continues. One person was killed and 22 others were wounded when gunfire erupted during a rally to celebrate the Kansas City Chiefs winning the Super Bowl. Two juveniles have been charged with gun-related and resisting arrest charges. The U.S. Education Department is trying to remedy the bungled rollout of this year's free application for federal student aid. But as Kirk Carapeza from member station GBH reports, The delayed form is still making the process more complicated.
First, the government came out with the new simplified form 3 months later than expected. Then once it was out, the form had a mistake. It didn't account for inflation. Fixing that could delay colleges' award letters until April at the earliest.
It's a huge mess.
Bob Bardwell, executive director of the Massachusetts School Counselors Association, says students in wealthy suburbs tend to have more college advising than their urban and rural peers.
They're definitely going to be haves and have-nots, but it's just poor timing.
The education department is pledging to help high-need colleges hire more staff to process applications more quickly. For NPR News, I'm Kirk Carapeza in Boston.
Major tech companies signed a pact today to adopt what they call reasonable precautions to prevent artificial intelligence tools from being used to disrupt elections around the world this year. They agreed to work to detect and label deceptive AI-generated content. They also promised to help consumers learn how to spot disinformation. I'm Nora Rahm, NPR News.
Support for NPR comes from NPR stations. Other contributors include the Lodestar Foundation, inspired by the principle that helping someone else less fortunate is a path to a happier, healthier, and more meaningful life. Learn more at LodestarFoundation.org.
NPR News is presentada a usted en parte por la Providence Kodiak Island Centro de Asesoramiento. Para una cita o más información, por favor, llama al 907-481-2400.
And it's 12:06 in Kodiak. I'm Brian Benoit. It's time for the Midday Report. While former President Donald Trump continues to tighten his grip on the Republican Party, Senator Lisa Murkowski made clear in her annual speech to the Alaska legislature that she's immune to that force field. She urged state legislators to put Alaska before party.
As the elections approach, there's going to be pressure to show whether you're with the Republicans or with the Democrats, with probably very little in between. So let's show the country that, sure, we've got our differences. We will always have our policy differences, but we can figure out ways to work through them.
Murkowski's moderation aggravates the Alaska Republican Party. The party has censured her, and Trump endorsed her right-wing opponent in the 2022 election. But for her annual address to the legislature, Murkowski didn't budge from center. Murkowski offered high praise for Congresswoman Mary Peltola, even though Peltola is a Democrat and she's running for re-election this year. Murkowski credited her with helping to persuade the Biden administration to close a loophole that allowed Russian seafood into the American market.
And Mary helped push that with the administration. She's also working tirelessly to educate her House colleagues about issues like fisheries and resources in Alaska. She may be one of 435, but she stands out, and she too is making a difference for Alaska.
Murkowski also reiterated her disappointment that Senate Republicans sank a border security measure this month, as Trump urged them to do, and she emphasized her support for aid to Ukraine and other allies, an issue that divides congressional Republicans. Murkowski called both President Biden and Trump, quote, deeply flawed candidates, end quote. She told reporters after the speech that she hopes Nikki Haley can defy the odds to become the Republican nominee for president. Senator Dan Sullivan is scheduled to make his address to the legislature next Wednesday. And speaking of the state government, the state of Alaska has seen a backlog in pending applications for the Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program, more commonly known as SNAP. As a result, some Kenai Peninsula residents who rely on food assistance are leaning more on the Kenai Peninsula Food Bank. KDLL's Hunter Morrison has more on the backlog and how it's affected the food bank's operations.
After the COVID-19 federal health emergency ended last year, the USDA Food and Nutrition Service reinstated an interview requirement for every Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program, or SNAP, application and recertification, leading to a backlog in the application process. In December, the issue affected more than 12,000 Alaskans, over 10% of the state's SNAP recipients. The state director of public assistance says the backlog is caused by a number of factors, from computer system upgrades to short staffing. To speed up the application process, the state has paused the interview requirement, which is out of compliance with federal regulations. According to a report from the Alaska Beacon, the number of people affected by the SNAP backlog doubled between August and November of last year. Kenai Peninsula Food Bank Executive Director Greg Meyer says the food bank is nearing pandemic levels of food distribution. He credits the estimated 25% increase in food distribution since late last summer to lingering inflation, supply chain issues, and the SNAP backlog.
We're building up our reserve a little bit. I mean, at one point, it had taken us down to maybe we had 2 or 3 days of reserve in the building. And we have no definitive way to say that's exactly it, but we're hearing that story over and over and over again. You know, the cost of fuel, the cost of food, and waiting for their SNAP to be approved.
Meyer says nearly half of the food bank's recipients were at one point affected by the backlog. Soldotna's Randy Leach is a disabled senior who filled out his SNAP application in September. He says he didn't receive his benefits until the end of January.
I don't blame the people at the front desk. I really don't. I'm not sure who it is that needs to get off the stick to do the job. I know they're shorthanded, and I feel sorry for a lot of people who need it, that really need it, worse than me.
In addition to a delay in receiving his SNAP benefits, Leach says he's had similar issues with other disability assistance programs, including Alaska's Adult Public Assistance, or APA. Because of a delay in APA benefits, Leach didn't have enough money in his bank account to pay his credit card bills or make this month's house payment on time. Around the same time, his cat developed an inoperable tumor. Leach says he couldn't afford to pay his vet bill and had to watch his cat suffer instead of putting her down.
And then she went with the big bill that I couldn't pay because the state was messing with my food stamps and my senior benefits, my APA and everything else. I couldn't pay my water and sewer, my electric, my gas, and everything.
From what we're hearing, it's a lot.
Again, Greg Meyer.
We're hearing that from folks every day, that they're still waiting on that.
Because of supply chain issues, the Soldotna-based food pantry has seen a decrease in donations from area grocery stores. Last February, Governor Mike Dunleavy redirected $1.7 million from an unutilized state program to aid food pantries across the state. The move came after a similar backlog in the state's SNAP application process. Meyer says the redirected funds supplied the food bank with just enough resources to get by.
We're trying to be that voice to hear and encourage people to speak out, and we're trying to get them where they need to be. It's just one of those situations, kind of like the fuel and the food and all these things happened at once, and it was just more than you could manage easily.
Members of the food bank met with legislatures in Juneau this week to discuss SNAP issues at the annual Alaska Food Coalition meeting. The Kenai Peninsula Food Bank provides food assistance for 40 to 60 households each day. The organization also has 46 distribution sites across the peninsula. In Kenai, I'm Hunter Morrison.
And three major seafood processors in Alaska have announced plans to sell off their plants or temporarily close for the upcoming fishing seasons. Trident and Peter Pan Seafoods and mostly recently OBI Seafoods have all cited turbulent market conditions for their decisions. Alaska Public Media's Ava White spoke with Kirsten Dobroth. She's the Alaska reporter for Undercurrent News, a commercial fishing and seafood industry trade magazine. She's been following this market downturn.
So, Kirsten, it seems like one company closing a plant would be pretty drastic, let alone three. How bad are things right now? And can you give us an overview of what's currently happening?
Yeah, I think a lot of people would say bad is an understatement, and historic is maybe a more appropriate description of the market situation. There was a lot of attention this summer on low base prices paid out to fishermen for salmon. But prices for pollock products also crashed last year, so that's the state's two biggest species by volume and value. Since then, this market collapse has spread to pretty much every species. Black cod, for instance, is typically one of the more lucrative dollar per pound fish caught in Alaska, and prices were so low at the end of last year that processors weren't even buying it. And I should clarify that by prices, I'm referring to both the dockside price paid to fishermen and the wholesale price paid to processors. So no one is really safe here, and both sides are hurting.
Wow, so it seems like this is all pretty encompassing. Why is this happening?
That's a good question, and there's a plethora of answers. Most of them come down to global market conditions. Inflation and the pandemic fundamentally changed consumer spending habits and at the same time made it more expensive for fishermen and processors to operate. Trade conditions have also changed with China, and a strong U.S. dollar has made it harder to sell Alaska seafood products in places like Japan, which is traditionally a bigger buyer. The amount of Russian seafood products in the market has gotten a lot of attention. High interest rates have also hit processors particularly hard. And then there's just a lot of supply out there. So basic supply and demand. You have these tough market conditions and a lot of products sitting in cold storage that's just getting harder to sell.
And now processing facilities are closing or being sold. So what happens to these communities that are losing plants or have large fishing fleets?
Right. Well, I think in the short term, they'll be looking at how to keep people working. In Kodiak, where I live, Trident's plant, which the company has said it will sell, employs hundreds of people. Many of them live here year-round. And then boats that sell to Trident, where do they bring fish, especially if other companies are also struggling financially? Peter Pan Seafood Company announced last month that its plant in King Cove won't open for winter, and city officials there told me they're expecting a hit to fish landing taxes, which make up more than half their general fund budget. But I think it's also really important to zoom out on this. Alaska's seafood industry employs tens of thousands of people that collectively earned more than $1.5 billion back in 2022 when times were good. Another $160 million went to state taxes and fees that year. So I think you could argue this isn't just an issue for Kodiak and King Cove. It's a statewide problem.
Is there any financial relief coming their way?
Well, that's yet to be seen. About three quarters of the Alaska state legislature did send a letter to the U.S. Department of Agriculture asking for more support and more purchases of Alaskan seafood. The USDA purchased a little more than $200 million of Alaska seafood products last year. So that's provided a boost while things have been bad. But what else they can do and any additional support in the state budget is unclear at this point. It is worth pointing out that Governor Dunleavy's State of the State address didn't include any mention of fisheries except for a pebble mine and an allusion to wild harvest.
Okay, so I guess looking forward, the big question is, are there signs that the fishing industry will rebound anytime soon?
I think that's what everyone is asking. I've talked to a number of sources on the processing side of things who think we haven't hit rock bottom. I've talked to fishermen who go out for seasons that either just started up or start up soon, and they're looking at another year of really depressing dockside prices. President Biden just signed an executive order that effectively stops Russian seafood products from getting into the U.S., and there's been some optimism in the industry, particularly in Alaska, about that. But unfortunately, I don't think anyone can say where we go from here.
Awesome. Well, thank you, Kirsten.
Thanks, Ava.
And again, that was Alaska Public Media's Ava White speaking with Kirsten Dobroth from Undercurrent News about the state of the seafood industry. As a quick disclaimer, Kirsten Dobroth previously served as KMXT's news director. And for our last story for today, tonight, Alaskans can watch a Fairbanks-born inventor promote his products on the television show Shark Tank. The product is a sustainably produced camera-equipped birdhouse. KUAC's Robin reports.
Steve Gray learned about birds in his family's Fairbanks backyard. He recalls that his father, who always wanted to watch swallows in their nests, put a camera in a birdhouse and strung cable across the yard to the kitchen counter, where the family watched the birds on a television monitor. Now he has developed his own updated version of that camera in a birdhouse.
It really was a pandemic project that got out of control in the best possible way.
Gray is an advertisement and video producer. With time on his hands, he designed a battery-powered, camera-equipped birdhouse that uses sustainable and recyclable materials and weighs about 8 pounds.
Well, maybe I can sell a few of these, and so it goes family and friends.
The design is egg-shaped, which gives enough room for the focal length of the camera, which Gray wanted to be silent without any lights to disturb the birds. He created an app so you could watch the birds on your smartphone. A colleague helped him pick out the birdie name of Peep Show. He stood up a website of the same name. Pretty soon he was getting requests from other bird watchers.
A year ago, I started selling them in earnest. So I've sold about 120 now.
He applied to appear on Shark Tank, the reality TV show created to help promising new entrepreneurs. He was accepted, and they shot the episode last fall. That will air Friday evening at 7 p.m. Alaska time. Since he has been sharing that he's going to be on TV, he's had more sales.
They have been coming in. I pretty much have double sale in the last 2 weeks than I have done in the last 10 months.
Gray's product has won design awards for a few reasons. The ornithological research that went into selecting the hole size and ventilation. The egg shape that allows for a camera that doesn't disturb the birds. But mostly, it was for his use of sustainable materials that are inexpensive and all replaceable, and for locally sourcing them.
I mean, I've tried to use either recycled content or recyclable content building this birdhouse. And the bottom mount is, if you look closely at it, it's all aluminum, which is great, and all weather, but it's from a swimming pool. It's a swimming pool mount that happens to fit on the 10-foot conduit you can find at Home Depot.
He has tested the birdhouses in Fairbanks, where the batteries lasted more than a year, and in Florida, with much higher temperatures, humidity, wind, and rain. He's gotten praise for incorporating bird science into the design.
You want a smaller hole size that those invasive species can't fit through. But if you do it too small, then you're denying these urban birds that really do need homes in the larger city, you're not allowing them to find a safe cavity to nest in. I've selected a hole size that the starlings cannot fit through, but the vast majority of songbirds can.
Even though the television episode was recorded months ago, he could not say what happens. We'll have to find out tonight. In Fairbanks, I'm Robin.
And that's it for your local news. We'll be right back with the Island Messenger in just a minute.
This is the Marketplace Minute. I'm Samantha Fields. Wholesale prices rose in January, according to the Labor Department. The producer price index increased 0.3%, more than expected, and another sign that inflation is persisting. The Federal Communications Commission is banning robocalls with AI-generated voices, effective immediately. This comes after a robocall went out to New Hampshire voters during the state's primary that included a fake AI-generated recording of President Biden's voice urging people not to vote. The Biden administration has released new details about who would be eligible for its second narrower attempt at canceling student loan debt. It includes people facing financial hardship, such as anyone considered likely to default within 2 years, and those whose loan balance is high relative to their income. I'm Samantha Fields with the Marketplace Minute.
This is the Island Messenger, a look at personal messages, the weather, and community announcements.
Thanks for tuning in. Today's Friday, February 16, 2024. The sunrise today was at 8:38 a.m. Sunset tonight will be at 6:10. That makes for 9 hours and 32 minutes of daylight, about 4 minutes and 50 seconds more than yesterday. The record high today was 48 degrees back in 1929. The record low is -2 in 1982. Taking a quick look at the tides in the Kodiak District, the high tide was at 6:20 a.m. of 9 feet. The low tide this afternoon will be at 1:20 of 0.9 feet. The high tide will be at 7:34 again tonight of 5.4 feet. Over on the west side of the island, over in Larsen Bay, that high tide peaked at 6:45 this morning of 13.9 feet. That low tide bottomed out at 1:44 this afternoon of 1.5 feet, and the high tide this evening again will peak at 7:50 p.m. of 9.4 feet. We're going to take a quick look at your community announcements. From the Kodiak Island Borough, there's a notice of public meetings that are coming up. The next one is February 20th. That's the Women's Bay Service Area Board Budget Regular Meeting at the Women's Bay Fire Hall. Again, that's on Tuesday at 5:30 p.m. And on Wednesday, February 21st at 6:30 p.m., the Planning and Zoning Commission will have their regular meeting at the Borough Assembly Chambers. Borough offices and facilities will be closed to the public on Monday 19th in observance of President's Day. We have a community bulletin that senior citizens of Kodiak is in need of paper bags. Make sure that they're not torn or soiled, and they can be dropped off at the center between 8:30 a.m. and 4:30 p.m. Monday through Friday. Senior citizens of Kodiak's Island's Cove Adult Day program has been helping families to care for their elders for over 35 years. Adult Day services provide relief for the family, reduce isolation for the adult, and offers a fun and stimulating place to spend a few hours in a safe environment. Adults participate in activities to regain strength, do memory work, and stay connected with what's happening in the community and the world. If you considered Adult Day services for your parents or spouse, you can call 486-2203 for more information. The website is also kodiakseniorcenter.org. The City of Kodiak Public Works Department wants to remind people with recent cold spells to keep their water running from a faucet to keep pipes from freezing. More information can be found by calling Public Works at 486-8060. And we're in Season 10 of Galley Tables. The next one coming up is March 2nd, and that's G-O-A-T as the theme, or greatest of all time. And Scuttlebutt, a Galley Tables workshop for youth, is on Tuesdays from 4 to 5:30 p.m. at the Kodiak Public Library Craft Room. It's a free weekly storytelling workshop for students in high school to practice building and sharing out stories with help from experienced storytellers. For more information, you can call 907-486-7396 or contact Alame. ELLAMY at KWRCC.org. There's also a Board of Education regular meeting for the Kodiak Island Borough School District on Monday, February 19th at 6:30 p.m. at the District Services Conference Room. The meeting agenda and packet for the meeting can be viewed on Board Docs online, and for more information, you can call the Secretary to the Board of Education at 907-486-7566. And our last announcement for today. Oh, actually, this one's already been done. That's it for your Island Messenger. Thanks for tuning in.
Listen for the Island Messenger here on Public Radio KMXT three times a day, Monday through Friday at 9 a.m., during the Midday Report at 12:20, and in the evening at 7 o'clock. If you have a community announcement or personal message, including lost and found items or pets, you can call KMXT at 486-3181, fax us at 486-2733, or email psa@kmxt.org.